All right, tonight we're going to be in Deuteronomy. So if you'll find that with me, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Stand when you find that. We have a short amount of verses to read, just 9 verses, relative to what we read last time anyway, the whole chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Very excited about the message tonight for a lot of reasons. I love Sunday nights. I've fallen in love with the book of Deuteronomy. And it's another message about parenting. Amen. We must need this. And if you're not a parent raising kids right now, then think of yourself as a secondary parent to all these kids that are here. Amen. So nobody has an excuse to not listen tonight. Even the kids, because one day you'll be a parent. And by the way, on that note, somebody's trying to help you to do right. So you need to get this, okay? And if you don't listen and do a good job with that, I might embarrass you. So just throwing that out there. Okay, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged." Verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these are the words which I command thee this day, this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." This evening, our message title is "The One Lesson Our Kids Must Learn." And the subtitle is "You Cannot Fail in This." Moms, dads, ministers of children, this is our one responsibility that we cannot fail in. Our kids need us to do this. And so it really is in parenting, I'd say, the top number one priority in parenting, this principle. So let's get it tonight. Father, we love you. We pray your help as we seek to understand your word and to hear from you. Convict us, lead us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Please, thank you for standing. I have a deep concern and care for the things that our children love and the things in this life that they commit themselves to. I'm concerned, but I have a deep desire to be a part of helping them have the right motivations. I remember when I was in junior high and I played football. I had been playing basketball, and I became very popular in a sense very quickly, just because, you know, I don't know why it just happened. I just worked hard in the basketball, did pretty well at it, and then became, you know, a figure in that sense for the school. In fact, I remember at a pep rally, I was so backwards and shy, though. And the coach, during a pep rally, wanted one of the students on the team to say a word, and I got pushed all the way to the front and handed a microphone, and I can't even tell you what I said because it was so embarrassing just to stand up there and say anything in front of the whole student body. So it was one of the most awful experiences of my life up until that moment. But athletics was an important thing for me, and that was eighth grade. Going into ninth grade, I was going to play on the football team. I already had ran track, and the coaches were in top recruitment mode because I was one of the fastest kids in the school as far as sprinting went. And so coach was all over that, and already had a few practices, and coach said they were working me out at quarterback, the starting quarterback role. And I couldn't throw hardly at all, but the nature of our offense, you know, was a lot of boot outs and a lot of play action kind of stuff where the quarterback would run a lot. And that's, man, I was just excited about it. Quarterback of the football team, already doing good at basketball. I mean, life is good. And then my brothers decided they're going to run away from home. And I told you that story a bunch of times. They tied the sheets together, ran away from home, and then Dad said, you're all moving in with Mom. And I thought, Mercy, this is awful. And, well, maybe they have a football team there. And so went to live with Mom, and the boys, my brothers, were going to go to a Christian school. And Mom wanted me to go to the Christian school too. But I was like, no way, I don't want to go to a Christian school. Why would anybody want to do that? You know, I had all these sort of ambitions about sports and stuff. And so Mom and my stepdad Ron and myself went to a counseling session with a man of God named Mike Hayes. And sitting in this counseling session, basically Brother Hayes talked, we talked, and he talked with Mom, and he said, let him go to the public school. And just let you see what God does. And so I went to the school and I played football and I did basketball and I did all that kind of stuff. And just sort of where I was there, I maybe wasn't the top dog like I was at the other school, you know, but I did excel in the athletic area and did really well there. But Mom and Ron had me in church. They had me in all the services. And I never missed. And after a year of that, I came the summer, the next summer, after spending that 1 year going to the school, the public school there, God had already changed my heart. And I knew that God wanted me to go to the Christian school. So it's amazing how God works in hearts. That's what we want to see. That kind of thing is what we want to see happen in the hearts of our kids. We want to see God work in their hearts. In fact, we need to see God work in their hearts. God needs to work in them. This section has been called in the with the Jewish community. It's called the Shema. It's a memorized portion of Scripture by the Jewish community. As a matter of fact, they teach their children this passage, and it's memorized in Jewish homes by the age of 5 years old. This whole section right here. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is memorized. They memorize this. And the word Shema is a Hebrew word, which is the transliteration of the word hear in the first word of verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel. That word hear is the Hebrew word Shema. And so God says, hear. But hear doesn't mean just show up. Hear doesn't mean, you know, that you just like listen, you know, that you showed up. It means that you're listening. But it also implies that you're obeying. And that's wrapped up in all of this. That you hear means that you're obeying. That you hear means that you're acting upon what you're learning. So you learn, but you act. You show up, but you listen. And when you listen, you learn. And when you learn, you act, you respond, you obey. That's what Israel was to do. Look at verse 1. These are the commandments and statutes and judgments the Lord your God commanded to teach thee, that ye might do them. Look at verse 2. The last, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and its commandments which I command thee. So to keep them. Verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and observe to do, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. And so God knows that our kids, that the children of Israel, their children needed to hear the words of God. They needed to hear these principles, but they needed to act on them. And there's a relationship between hearing and acting. And we talked about it in Sunday school, that we need to understand that there's a patience aspect, which was the wisdom wrapped up in Brother Hayes's counsel to let me go to the public school. Not that it was the ultimate desire that I would remain in the public school, but what needed to happen was God needed to work in my heart. And Brother Hayes knew that. And so staying in church and being in all the services and hearing the word of God, he worked in my heart and the change began to happen. It took time, but through that patience and through that effort and hearing the word of God, he began to soften me and break me and work in me so that there was a kind of obedience there. One writer said about this section, the legislation of chapters 6 through 11, all the way through chapter 11, may be viewed as an expression of one great command, love God with all your being. That's a tremendous phrase right there, love God with all of your being. By the way, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, with all of your being, love Him. So he gets the whole package, right? God gets the whole package. Then he goes on, therefore obedience on the part of the Israelites demonstrated that they loved God. So you can't disconnect the two. You can't say, I love God, but I won't obey Him. You can't say that I have a deep concern for the movement of God, for the things of God. I have a deep love for God. My whole being is given to God, but we don't obey Him. So they're connected. They go together. God knew that. So God then is making the point here as we dive into this that where your heart is, this is the things that you follow. Let me say that again. I didn't say it very well, but let's say it again. Where your heart is, those are the things that you follow, the things that your heart is given to. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs, my son, give me thine heart. It's almost as though God says to his children, give me your heart, because if you give me your heart, then you'll follow me. And we let our kids give their heart to all this stuff, and we get surprised that they don't have a heart for God, because they have a heart for all of this other stuff. Yeah. So where your heart is, that's what you'll follow. The lessons that our children must learn, the one, if we could summarize it all the way down to one lesson, it is this one. If you fail in this, then we've missed the biggest responsibility that we have as parents, pointing our kids to God. To help them get this is critical, but it also means if you're going to help your kids get it, you have to get it first. And that one lesson is that they love God. That they love God. But that starts with you. You must learn to love God with all your being. Look at verse 4 again. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So he said in the first part of that verse, the Lord our God is one Lord. This meant that there aren't a lot of gods. There's not many gods. There's not many things that we can give our heart to and our allegiance to and our priorities to, and then expect that our heart isn't going to, our affection and our obedience and our commitment aren't going to follow all the other things of this world. God says, no, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so loving God means you're not replacing Him. I said loving God means you're not replacing Him with other things in life. He said, have no other gods before me. God is number one. Nothing comes before Him. Nothing replaces Him. The gods of this world are prevalent. And what we must do, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas and authorities and kids, what you need to learn to do is to say no to the things that come into your life as replacements to God. Say no. You know, there's a lot of things I'll say yes to, but there's one thing that, with the Lord's help, I'll always say no to. Anything that comes between us and God. Our family and God. My heart and God. Dr. Hayes says, let him go to public school. And there are some challenges that came as a result of that life that I was living there. I went to school. I had friends that weren't good friends. I had influences in my life that weren't good influences. I had an attitude that wasn't a good attitude. And so there were some real problems between my mom and Ron and myself, and some serious friction that almost turned into me not being able to live there. And so there were some real struggles that came as a result of that. But you know, all the time, God was working in me. There was a day that the friction got so serious that Ron looked at me and he says, pack your bags. When I'm 16 years old, he said, pack your bags. You're going back to live with your dad. You can't live here anymore. And I didn't respond. I was really kind of shocked about it. So we packed the bags. And then suddenly, like, I'm there back at dad's house. And before I could even process what had just happened, I'm there. And then right there at the start of it, I started trying to go back into some of my old life. So I would walk down, I would walk the street, and I was going to go to a friend's house. And the whole time I'm walking, I'm thinking, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. This isn't who I am anymore. It was in me that I didn't want to be here. It was in me already, God was working in me that I didn't need to be here. I needed to be there. One day, the very next day, at supper with Dad, burst into tears. Right there at the supper table. Dad said, what's wrong? I said, I need to go back to Mom's. I need to go back to Mom's. And so I called her. I said, I'm so sorry. Would you have me back? And within a couple of days, I'm back. You know, God worked in my heart that was halfway through the school year. By the end of the school year, God changed my heart. The very next year, God called me to be a pastor. So, what happened in this? God was working. And because we were in a place to hear from God, we were hearing, we were being taught. I was hearing, I was being taught. I was in a place to be touched. And God was touching me. And my mom looked at it, and Ron looked at it, and they thought, this kid is, he's unreachable at this point. But God was working in me. And they sent me away thinking maybe this is not a situation that's going to be good for him or us. And it was in that moment that I knew that I need to act on what God is doing in my heart. And I did. And listen, God is going to work in us. God wants to change us. God wants to transform us. But we need to be in a place where we're going to hear the Word of God, where we're going to hear the truths and the principles of God's Word, so that God can touch us and break us, and we can learn that what needs to happen is that we acknowledge that there's one God, and our hearts need to be given to Him. Our whole being needs to be given to Him, to serve Him, to love Him, to know Him, to be committed to Him. And there's stuff that we do in life. Yeah, sure, there's activities that we get involved with. Sure, yeah, there's jobs that we have, and we work, and we do this, and we do that. But nothing takes the place of our God. Nothing takes the place of the one true God. He is the one that has our heart. He's the one who has our being. And so God worked in me. God would work in the hearts of His people. And what needed to happen is that they would have a love for God, that they would commit their whole heart to Him, that they would allow their love for God to pervade every aspect of their being, of their life, their soul, their strength, their might, their mind, all of it. Yeah. So we want that for our kids, but it needs to happen in our life. We want that for our children, but do you remember when God did it in you? So, if that's going to be the case for you, then you're going to have to learn to say no to some things. You can't say yes to everything. In your own life, I'm talking about in our lives, certainly we need to learn to say no in the lives of our children as we teach and guide them down this path. But we're not even talking about that yet. We're talking about the things that come our way and tempt us to give our hearts to other things. Yeah. Look at verse number 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Shall be in thine heart. One writer said this, God's people were responsible to meditate on these commands to keep them in their hearts. Why? Why do you need to give your heart to God? Why do you need to meditate on the things of God throughout your day? Why do you need to say no to things so that you can keep God number one? Because our children need to learn to love God with all their heart. And we're their parents. We're the ones guiding them. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently. Don't you love that word diligently? Unto thy children. He says, talk of them. When thou sittest in thine house. Listen to this. He says, talk of them when you're at your house. Now this goes beyond a church setting now, doesn't it? So we talk about these things when we go home. Talk about what? Our commitment to God, our love for God, the commandments of God, the things of God, the ministry of God, that people need to be saved, that God can use us to pray for the lost. When he says, when thou sittest in thy house, he says, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So this is every part of our life. This is the morning and the evening and throughout the day. You know, when they go to school and they're sitting in class, teachers who even believe in God and who love God are afraid to talk about God at school. It shouldn't be that way at home. They're not going to get it at school. But they must get it in our homes. They need us to talk about the Lord. They need us to point them to the things of God. To talk about our love for Him. To talk about our desire to see God promoted. To see the gospel go forward. To see the lost get saved. To see Jesus honored. To say things like, I love the Lord with all my heart. I'm so thankful that we get to go to church. I'm so thankful that we have a church that loves the Bible and that loves Jesus, and that we have church family who loves God. And that look at this. I mean, this is amazing. Look around. You have a church family of people. We all love, everybody in this room loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can go to anyone in here and you can have a conversation about the things of God. That's a pretty awesome privilege that we have. And you know, it needs to happen at church. And we need to talk to each other about these things. And we come together and we can talk about this. We can talk about work and we can talk about sports and we can talk about, you know, activities at home. And I do that. But you know what we need is we need to encourage each other in the things of the Lord. And that needs to happen here. But what he's talking about in this passage is when we go home. He says, when you rise up and when you go to bed. When you go throughout your day, we're going to talk about the things of God. One writer referred to this passage this way, or that section this way. He said, the best teaching time for our children is not a formal setting, but a parent. He goes on, who out of concern for their lives as well as their children's made God and His Word the natural topic of conversation, which might occur anytime, anywhere during the day. I decided, because God called me to be a pastor, I surrendered after a few years of just sort of hearing the call of God and knowing that He wanted me to be in the ministry, and finally going to church camp my junior year and knowing in my heart that God wanted me to be a pastor, not telling anybody, not surrendering, not talking to anybody about it, because that would just acknowledge that God was doing it. And it was a long year of fighting God about His call in my life. And then went to church camp. And while at church camp, the preacher's preaching, and Brother Kenny Baldwin, and just a fiery preacher, and he's preaching the Word of God. And after the first day, God starts softening my heart. After the second day of preaching, I said, I think I'm going to end up doing this. I think I'm going to go to the altar and surrender to be a pastor. By the third day of church camp, I'm at the altar and I surrendered to be a pastor at camp. And I told Brother Pendergraf, my pastor, and went before the church and I said, God wants me to be a pastor. And then I went to Bible college at Heartland there in Oklahoma City, trained to be a pastor, went to this college for 4 years, got out of college and I knew everything I needed to know until I became pastor and realized I didn't know anything, you know. And ministered along, but when I was in Bible college, you know, I started taking extra classes on counseling, and guess who my teacher was? It was a man named Mike Hayes, who all those years before, I sat in his office, and he looked at me, and he says, you know, maybe God will work in this young man. Let's just give him some time to let God work. And now I'm sitting in his counseling class, learning how to counsel people. Brother Mike's in heaven right now. That's a special thing that I can tell you tonight that God did. Do you know what Brother Mike Hayes taught us in class? He taught us this passage. That's why I'm talking about him tonight. Because he says, you know what, moms and dads, this is the one thing you need to teach your kids. This is what Brother Mike said. This is the one thing you need to teach your kids. Love God. Because if you teach your children to love God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might, then everything else in their life will sort itself out. They have all these problems. Our kids have problems, don't they? And they have issues and they have struggles and they have trials and they have attitude and they have all these temptation, all this peer pressure and all these, you know, things that in the future that they'll need to, you know, address and deal with. But you know what? One thing will get them through it all. One thing will get them through it all. Love God with all your being. So it's the one thing that we cannot fail to teach our children. And by the way, it's the one thing if we teach them, it'll take care of everything else. It's pretty powerful. Teach your children to love God with all their being. What's that mean? That means if dad was off the scene, they're going to press on. Because they don't love God. They don't love God because they love dad. They love God. I would get the kids and I would put them in front of me. Andrew, come here. That's what you get for not looking up here. Come here. Stand right there. Okay. So I would grab them like this. Ow. And I would just do that. Are you embarrassed yet?
No.
Okay. And then I pretend like I'm going to kiss them and then they push me away. I just tell them I love them. Are you embarrassed yet? No. I'd say I love you. Let's sit down. He was not paying attention, so he deserved that. I put him in front of me, I'd say, I love you. Who else can I pick out? We'd go on a long trip, it'd just be Melissa and me. I'd pull him aside, especially the older ones, and I'd say, listen, I know we don't like talking about this, but like if we get in a car accident or something, we could be gone. Like, who likes talking about that? I don't like talking about it. But I said, really, Caleb, Grant, any of you, there's just one thing. If I'm gone, there's just one thing I want for you. Just one. Like, if I die, then if there's just one thing you remember, love God for the rest of your life. If you do that, you'll make me the proudest dad in the whole world. So if I'm gone, if you do that, that's all I want. Love God with all your heart. So they went track putting on doors yesterday. Not really tracks, but their invitations to Vacation Bible School. And it was kind of chilly yesterday. And so when I was at home, I was working. I had a great study day yesterday with the Lord's help. Praise God. But I was there. I was cold. So I started the fireplace. Man, I put fire in there. I thought, man, this might be my last chance to do this before summer hits. So I got a fire going, and I was getting all toasty and warm. And then the boys got home from doing the Vacation Bible School, and Ethan came right on in, and I gave him a hug. And and did my little thing there with that. And then I sometimes, until they get big, because when they get big, it's no fun anymore. So when they're still little, I'll grab them and I'll tackle them on the ground, you know, and I'll just sort of tickle them, or, you know, and do that kind of thing where you're sort of on them and just making life sort of fun for them right there, right? So suddenly, while we're doing that right there in the basement, I felt something, I heard something just kind of spray, and I felt something. And I turned around, and it looked like blood was just all sprayed all over me. And it just looked like blood was just sprayed. And I thought, I didn't feel anything. Ethan wasn't crying. Am I going to die right now? What just happened? It looked like something just burst and just sprayed out everywhere. But what had happened was I started the fireplace and there was a red pen on the fireplace. And the ink exploded right when we were wrestling on the ground. The timing was amazing. And it just sprayed all, it's still, my hands are kind of red, but there's the back of my leg right here. If you want to see later, just I'll show you. It's just all up my legs, just red ink, you know? And I thought, I'm going to heaven. Lord, take me. I love you, everybody. You know? And I thought to myself, you know, it's funny whenever something like that happens. I didn't know it was a pen. It was a red ink. It looked just like blood. I thought, I'm going to die or something. This is... All these thoughts go through my mind. And, you know, I couldn't help but think that I've loved my family. I've loved God, and I've loved my family. So if I go, I don't want to go, but I feel like I've loved God and I've loved my family. What more could I do? You know, that's where we need to be. I'm not saying that I always nailed this, but I'm just saying that's where we need to be, moms and dads. Love God with all your being. How do we do that? Just don't let anything go before Him. That's the first commandment. Have no other gods before me. Love me with all your being, God says. Do that. And then number two, teach your kids to love God. Teach your kids to love God. Let me ask you a few questions. Has someone stolen the love of your heart away from God? Have you allowed things to come into your home that have stolen the heart of your children away from God? Do your children need to hear you more often encouraging them to love God? If you can say yes to any of those questions, then we need to do business with God tonight. Father, we need you tonight. We pray for your help, your guiding touch and blessing. And it might be tonight that somebody needed to hear this. We'd be encouraged, inspired. Maybe a parent, maybe a grandparent, maybe somebody who just ministers to the kids. Maybe the kids, Lord, they just need to make a decision that they're going to love the Lord, love you with all their hearts. We pray for your blessings if we have invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.